Today on Colchonero Chat, Atletico Madrid played a wild game against Malaga over the weekend, and we're here to break it all down. Plus, we'll preview Atletico's game against Rostov in the Champions League tomorrow, a game that could see Los Colchoneros secure progression in the Champions League. All that and more after this. Buenos tardes. Welcome to Colchonero Chat, the podcast of record of IntoTheCalderon.com, a proud member of the SB Nation family of blogs. I am Jeremy Barron, and I'm joined today by our own Martin Connolly. Martin, how are you, man?
Hey, Jeremy, how's things? It's good to be back after a few weeks' break.
It has been a few weeks, but we are more than happy to have you back on, and I hear you're battling a bit of a cold there. We were talking before the show about it, but you're powering through it. You're a credit to your kind, Mr. Connolly.
Thank you, Jeremy.
All right, so we have much to discuss, as ever, on this edition of Colchonero Chat. I'd like to start, however, with a little La Liga whip-around before we launch into Atletico Madrid's 4-2 win over Malaga. For the past round of fixtures, 10 rounds down in La Liga, after Deportivo and Valencia get done doing whatever they're doing, Leganés defeated by Real Sociedad 2-0 on Friday. On Saturday, Sevilla traveling to Sporting Gijón and not winning. Sporting held them to a 1-1 draw, Luciano Vietto getting a goal for Sevilla in that one, his fourth of the year. Real Madrid traveling to Alaves, a 4-1 win for the leaders, Cristiano Ronaldo notching a hat trick. Barcelona only managing a 1-0 victory over Granada, a Rafinha overhead kick, the deciding goal in that one. Have you seen it, Martin? It was a great goal.
No, I actually haven't got a chance, but I heard about it, so I'm going to have to look that up after this.
Really excellent goal. On Sunday, Eibar, two late goals to topple Valencia, Villarreal, my apologies, 2-1. We got Valencia on the brain. Two goals in the final 10 minutes for Eibar to beat Villarreal, their first loss of the season. Athletic and Osasuna playing out a 1-1 draw. Espanyol going to the Benito Villamarín and beating Real Betis 1-0. The pressure turned up on Gus Poyet again. And the game of the weekend was played on Gran Canaria, as it usually is. Las Palmas 3-3 against Celta Vigo. Celta were up 3-0 before Las Palmas roared back in the second half with three of their own. That was a wild game. And as we speak, Deportivo and Valencia are playing at the Riazor. That is 1-1 with about 15 minutes to go. All right, so you notice the game we left out was Atletico and Malaga. We're going to talk all about that one. I mentioned after Atletico played at Mestalla before the international break that I thought that would be one of the craziest, if not the craziest, game Atletico would play in all season, with the two missed penalties, with the chances at both ends, the pace of the game. Boy, was I wrong. This game topped that. And a six-goal thriller at the Calderon. You don't really see Atletico get into many of those, but they got into one on Saturday. A 4-2 win, a doblete apiece from Yannick Carrasco and Kevin Gamero, and two assists for Antoine Griezmann as well. That trident now responsible for 25 goals this season. Those three players have scored 16 and assisted 9. For the sake of comparison, Messi, Suarez, and Neymar responsible for 26 goals, 18 scored, 8 assisted. And Bale, Benzema, and Cristiano at Real Madrid, 12 goals scored and 4 assisted, Martin.
Yeah, I think it's just, finally Atletico actually have that superstar trident that you'd look over Barcelona and Madrid in previous years and you'd be envious of it because, you know, there's not just one or two players that you rely on. So finally Griezmann has some help. Just like you said, Carrasco scored twice, Gamero scored twice, Griezmann not on the score sheet, Atletico scored 4 goals. You wouldn't have even thought that that was possible last season.
And it almost wasn't. Only one time last season in the league did Atletico score 4 or more in a game. They'd done it 4 times already this season. So
yeah, and it's just weird not to see Griezmann on the score sheet.
Yeah, and Griezmann has not scored since the last international break. His last goal came at Mestalla in that 2-0 win. But he's still very involved, and even when he's not scoring goals, he's a lethal player. So let's talk about this one. Griezmann assisted the first goal. It was Yannick Carrasco opening the scoring inside 10 minutes. Dazzling piece of footwork inside the box to get himself free and beat Carlos Kameni. So 1-0 Atletico. Atletico would double the advantage less than 20 minutes later, after Kone and Ignacio Camacho really had problems clearing the ball. It landed right at Kevin Gamero's feet, and he finished with ease. But Malaga got back in it, as they usually do. Sandro Ramirez free kick, that was just, if you have not seen it yet, you have to see it. Fair play to him. It's his fourth goal of the season, and Oblak had no chance at this one.
It's Oblak. I didn't think it was possible for Oblak to look so small in goal, because usually he's such a towering figure there. But just the way Sandro hit it, you know, it had to be perfect just to get up and over the wall and obviously over Oblak, and just really well done from Sandro. And it was Ronaldo or Messi that scored there, then we'd be seeing that for weeks.
Absolutely, could not have placed it better, and really an incredible effort. However, Atletico would go back up by 2 goals. They would make it 3-1 at halftime. Another Kevin Gamero strike. This one, a simple nod of the head from Antoine Griezmann to send him on his way. So 3-1 there. It was Gamero's fifth of the year and his first double in red and white. But the fun would not end there, as this game ended with 10 apiece, 10 players apiece. Atletico the first to go a man down, as Stefan Savic was sent off on the hour. A debatable second yellow card. Atletico have reportedly appealed the decision. We will expect to hear the results of that appeal soon. But at any rate, Savic was sent off, and Malaga scored very shortly thereafter, as Camacho got his head on a corner kick and just went right through Oblak's legs. Really should have had it. And really, after that, you were just on edge for the rest of the game. It was very nervy, and really one mistake could have set things. You know, you could be looking at a 3-3 game, but Atletico held on until they got a chance very late in normal time, when Angel Correa hit a ball over the top to Yannick Carrasco, and Carrasco raced in, finished off the far post, and in 4-2, and that was your game. Oh, and Chori Castro got sent off at the very end for taking down Gabby, or Gabby falling over. Either way you look at it, Chori Castro was sent off. So the game ended 10-10. It ended 4-2 to Atletico. Atletico into fourth after the Villarreal loss at Eibar. Still behind Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Sevilla. That's your top three. So what a game this was. Martin, what were your immediate thoughts?
Yeah, it's just like you said, you know, when it was 3-1, you kind of felt a bit relaxed, but then Savic gets it off, and you got Camacho scoring, which Oblak could have done better on. You know, he's made so many good saves, we'll probably let him go since it didn't make much of a difference in the end. But after that, it just seemed like it might just be one of those crazy games that you drop two valuable points at home. Atletico already dropped a couple of them this season, so that would have been a bit of a painful draw, so to speak, especially after the severe defeat. You wanted to come back home, pick up the win, and then look forward to Rostov. But yeah, just like you said, crazy game, and Atletico don't really get involved in many of these, but maybe this season is a bit different.
Yeah, this was one that Atletico had to win, and I was talking to a source after the game who told me that who agreed this was a strange game, but Malaga really did not threaten much, 11 versus 10, and it was an interesting point to me that Malaga really didn't have a lot of great chances, even being a man up for nearly half an hour. Atletico really did a nice job managing the game and waiting for that final chance that would let everyone exhale in relief. And I was talking about this on the last Colchonero chat, that where Atletico faltered last Sunday was in the midfield. Sevilla dominated them in midfield. Atletico dominated Malaga this time around. The wing play was excellent. Juan Fran was great, led the team in touches. Felipe, very good again. Carrasco obviously scoring twice. What a player he's become. And although Nico Gaitán went off injured with a gluteal problem, Angel Correa came on after half an hour and played great. He just seems to have a different mentality coming off the bench as compared to when he starts games.
Yeah, I mean, just when he starts game, I don't know if it's mentally or just he feels a lot more free coming off the bench. You know, he doesn't have much to lose. You know, in the back of his head, he's not thinking that he could lose a starting spot if he he doesn't do this or that. So when he's coming off the bench, he looks a lot more freer, a lot more like he's enjoying himself a bit more. And, it might have only been an early sub this time, but usually obviously he comes out for the last half an hour, 20 minutes, but he still looked a lot fresher than the players out there.
He did, and that's the advantage to having him on the bench, right? Because he can come on later in games when teams may be a bit more worn out, and they've used every resource they can to try to spring an upset against one of the giants of Europe. And then you have Correa come on, and he can break the game open, and he can finish the game and get Atletico to a winning position. And it was interesting, his role in this game. He didn't shoot at all. He didn't have a single shot attempt, but his passing was superb. As I mentioned, he set up the goal for Carrasco and just generally cut through that Malaga defense with some really incisive passing. It was great to see, and he's just such a bright young player. And it's great to see that he's getting more consistent playing time this season, whereas in his first season, it didn't seem at times like Simeone knew exactly what to do with him. Now Simeone knows when and where he can put him, and he trusts him.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember as well, we place so much pressure on him when he starts, but he still is only 21. I mean, he's so young, and he's only going to get better. And the fact that he's this good at this young age is just such a positive, so that he can learn and grow and improve on his weaknesses, because he does have strengths. Like you said, usually his role is coming on last half an hour, and you're not going to want to see Correa coming on if you're the opposition and you've been chasing on Carrasco, Griezmann, and Gamero the whole game. And then this speedy little guy just comes on and just causes even more havoc, and he's as fresh as anything.
Yep. That is, he's a very dangerous option to have, and he's a real weapon, especially when he comes off the bench. And speaking of young players who have improved rapidly, we have Yannick Carrasco, who now leads all midfielders in Europe with 7 goals. No other midfielder on the continent has more. He's got 5 goals in the league, tied with Gamero and 1 behind Griezmann for the team lead. This guy is just something else. He is on some kind of tear. He is on some run of form. And I'm not sure we expected, or even Simeone expected, Carrasco to improve this quickly.
No, it's just, I never forget, ever since he's been tearing it up, I think it was after the Barcelona game, when we done the podcast, and you said that it's just a matter of when, not if, that he's going to score, Carrasco, because he kept opening himself up for opportunities, he kept trying, and, he looked very confident for someone that had his opportunities denied until then. And then the Bayern Munich game came along, and ever since then, I don't know if he's just gotten a lot more confident or whatever it is, but he's been on form, and I just... Anytime he scores, it just reminds me of when you just said that it is a matter of when, not if. And yeah, you look back, I don't think anyone could have expected this from Carrasco even last year. His rise has been pretty quick. He impressed at the European Championships. He impressed mostly in the second half of last season for Atletico. Now he's a starter for Belgium under a new coach, so he could easily become one of the untouchables, if you will. And yeah, I don't think Atletico expected him to become this good this quick. They bought Gamero in, that's probably why they were so desperate to take the pressure of Griezmann a bit, and just expected Carrasco possibly in the next 2 to 3 years to come along to the level that he's at now. So it's a huge plus, and hopefully he just keeps coming along, and if he does hit a bad run of form, hopefully he doesn't, then I do think Simeone will still trust him to come out of it.
And it's so important, too, to not just have one player helping Griezmann, but having two players do it. Last season, Griezmann was responsible for about half of Atleti's goals in the league. He scored 22 of them, and when you factor in his assists, he was responsible for nearly half the team's goals in the league. So having... Because when Griezmann hits these runs where he doesn't score a lot, where he is able to set guys up rather than score, you need to have players finishing these chances and going on good runs of their own. Carrasco certainly in that rich vein of form right now. Kevin Gamero is as well. He scored 2 at the weekend. He's up to 5 in the league. And Gamero wasn't signed to score 30 goals, but he was signed to help take the pressure off Griezmann, and that's what he's done.
Yeah, I think as well, just the opposition. I mean, it's a lot easier to plan for just Griezmann than if you're going to have to plan for Griezmann, Gamero, and an informed Carrasco, who just offers something completely different to what we're used to seeing from Atletico's wingers, who are usually so narrow. But here you just have a player that just likes to take the ball, he'll go wide. He's so direct, and as we saw at the weekend, his moments of individual brilliance can be so key. But yeah, like you said, you need someone taking the pressure of Griezmann. The fact that he didn't even get on the score sheet, Atletico scored 4 goals. Wouldn't have imagined that last season, especially because he contributed like half the goals. And yeah, he does go on a few games where he doesn't actually put the ball in the back of the net, but he still contributes, and it's not like he's playing poor. It's just that Carrasco is just playing absolutely brilliant, and Gamero coming along very nicely.
Absolutely. And eventually Griezmann will start banging these in again, and people will say, oh, you know, he's such a special player, which he is, but the full breadth of his talent isn't always noted when he's not scoring. And he does so many things that his two assists were off very simple passes, like a simple through ball to Carrasco for the first one. Then the second assist was just a simple nod of the head that and Gamero took up the ball and went on his way. Just simple little passes that show how great his vision is and how special of a player he is. Still in the running for the Ballon d'Or. His camp still holds out hope that he can win it. And at any rate, Az has started calling this trident a GGC, but I think we need a better name for that. So hit us up on Twitter at Into the Calderon, at JB Barron, at underscore MC1905 underscore. Hit us up with your thoughts on what the Carrasco Gamero Griezmann trident should be called. I mean, GGC is okay, but you can do better, I think.
Nah, it doesn't have a nice ring to it. You know, I mean, especially because we're at a BBC.
BBC, yeah, MSN. BBC and GGC are too similar.
Maybe Yak?
Yeah, Robbie's proposal was Yak. I kind of like that.
Yak.
Yannick, Antoine, Kevin. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I think Yak is probably... Well, I think it's better than GGC anyways.
It definitely is. So,
got to give a shout-out to Robbie there.
Yeah, fair play to Robbie. Well done on his part for coming up with that. But hit us up with your suggestions as to what we should call this new, exciting trident. I was reading in Az this week a column from their editor, Alfredo Relaño, who said Simeone has gone a long way towards solving the short blanket problem. Whereas, you know, with a blanket, if you cover your head, you leave your feet exposed. If you cover up your feet, your head is exposed. Like, and if you focus too much on defense, you don't have enough in attack. If you focus too much on attacking, you're going to ship a lot of goals at the back. And Atletico have opened up more. As we mentioned, they've scored 4 goals 4 times already, 4 more goals 4 times in the league already this season. They've opened up more, but have still kept defensive solidity. They've only conceded 6 goals. They have a plus 19 goal difference, which is the largest in the league. So Simeone has opened up more, has opened up his Atletico a bit more, and defensively they are still in great shape. They still keep great balance, and they look even more dangerous this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last season, obviously, and in seasons before Simeone, you expected defensive organisation from Atletico. You knew what you were going to get, but I don't think you know they win a goal down or they're chasing a game. I don't think we really had that confidence that they could actually pull it out. I mean, you know, you might rely on Griezmann last season or Diego Costa before then, but you know, you never actually thought that they could actually score 2 or 3 goals, put the game away, and be comfortable. And I know the game last weekend wasn't very comfortable, especially because of sending off, but still to score 4 goals, and that brings them up to, I think it's 25 goals in the league this season. Yeah, you know, you wouldn't expect a Atletico team to do that, but... And I think they struggled in the first couple of games to actually get the whole system the way that they wanted to, but it's coming along nicely, and hopefully it keeps coming along that way, because, I mean, score 25 goals and only concede 6, that's... I mean, I think it's only Villarreal that have conceded single-digit goals as well.
For reference, Real Madrid have... Barcelona have scored 30 goals, Real Madrid have scored 28, Atletico are at 25, so much closer among those three in goals than in previous years. Atletico won the league scoring 76 goals in 2013-14. Last year, they scored 63.
So, yeah, I think 80 is actually quite possible this season.
I think it is, too. And... They're on pace. They are up to 2.5 goals a game. I'm not going to do math on the air because that never ends well. But that's about 95 goals is their current pace. Not sure they'll get to that many, but it's certainly possible that they can score. They can register 80 goals in the league this year.
Well, the way I look at it is, like, you expect Griezmann to score, like, 25 to 30 goals, and he only has 6 at the moment in the league. So, you know, if you add in his tally that you're still expecting, I mean, Carrasco looks like he doesn't know how not to score.
Yeah, right now, yeah.
you're still going to get your contributions from midfield. Obviously, Gamero and Torres. You know, there's a lot of goal scorers in the team. And
Correa as confidence. Well.
Yeah, Correa as well, actually. And, you know, a lot more confidence when they actually... I know it didn't actually work out against Sevilla last weekend, but a lot more confidence in them chasing the game. If they need a goal, then you'd actually believe that it's possible that they get it. And I don't think that level of confidence would have been there before.
Yeah, last year, they would go behind, and it just... You didn't have confidence that they could get one sometimes, let alone two.
No.
Now you can. They fell behind at Barcelona a few weeks back, and was really impressive how they fought back in the second half and outplayed Barcelona in the second half. And that kind of was a springboard, I think, because they haven't really looked back since then. Other than the Sevilla game, I think you have a confident team that is scoring, at times, scoring for fun.
And yeah, I think they believe in each other as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important. Part of that team ethic that Simeone tries to weave. And we'll see if that continues. We'll have another chance to view it on Tuesday. Before we move on to Tuesday, mattress maker of the match. I had Yannick Carrasco. Martin, who'd you have?
Yeah, I think you have to give it to Carrasco, don't you? Two goals that, I mean, I know Griezmann laid it on a plate for him for the first one. Simple pass, but, you know, not everyone would see it. That's what makes Griezmann so great. And then the second goal just tied the game up and let go leave with the 3 points that they badly needed. So I think Carrasco definitely.
Yeah, he was great. Griezmann was great. Gamero was great. Juan Fran was excellent. I thought he would have had a shout had this been a little tighter game. But
what did you make of Saul's performance?
I thought Saul was good. It was really good to see him play 90 minutes. And really saw him in a box-to-box role, which I think is when he's at his best. That's when I think you can see just how talented and versatile he is. Like, he would play in front of the back four. He'd play in front of them, make clearances, get in front of passes. Then you'd see him at the other end launching shots at Kameni. So he was just all over the place, and it's great to see because he's certainly capable of playing that role, like a box-to-box type of role, and it's kind of a unique quality in the team because Koke is not exactly a box-to-box player. He doesn't drift inside the 18 very often. And Koke is great, but he's not exactly that kind of a rampaging player. Like, he's not going to score a goal that Saul scored against Bayern Munich last year. He's not going to score that type of goal. But no, it was great to see Saul get 90 minutes, and he looked very good.
Yeah, I think it's been a bit of a elephant in the room situation. So, you know, no one really wants to talk about, but I think he has disappointed a little bit this season.
I would agree.
From what we expected.
The goal against PSV was his best moment, but he's had some up and down games, and he got hurt on international duty, which would set him back a few games. But even before then, he was a bit up and down, which, you know, he's a young player who was on the bench a couple times earlier this season, but I think if he's healthy, he's got to be an automatic starter. He's got to be automatically in there, and I think he will be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he has the electrical, the Simeone, the Simeone mind of thinking. You know, he knows what's needed of him, and he's not fussy about it. You know, I think we've seen against Barcelona, he was chasing the whole game. And he actually had to come off for the last half an hour because I think he was exhausted. And, you know, he's not going to complain if he doesn't get the ball. But then when he does get the ball, you know, he's happy to be creative and happy to try things and try to get the team going. So I think he, like you said, if he's fit, he has to be in the team.
Absolutely. He's such a unique and very valuable player when he's fit, when he gets 80, 90 minutes under his belt. His creativity is underrated. His work rate is underrated. He's just a brilliant young player. And I think we both look forward to seeing more of him as the season progresses. So, moving on to Rostov. They visit the Calderon on Tuesday for match day 4 of the Champions League group stage. Atletico, with a win, will secure progression to the last 16 for the fourth year in a row. That's never been done in the history of the club. And they would take another step towards winning Group D. And Bayern are Bayern Munich are at PSV, I believe. Yes, they are in Netherlands to take on PSV.
You know, to be honest, I don't trust that Bayern Munich are going to leave that game with 3 points.
I'm not sure either. PSV's,
They haven't been playing brilliant this season, Bayern. I know after Atletico beat them, they went on a bit of, I think it was three games without a win. I know they beat them 4-1 at home, but yeah, just, I don't know, they're not really that convincing. I picked them to win at the start of the season in the Champions League. I don't know if I still pick them now. I know it's still early in the season, and Ancelotti's still probably trying to get his ideas to players that still have the Guardiola way of playing, but yeah, you know, I think PSV could take something from that game, and obviously that leaves Atletico in a very good position heading into weeks 5 and 6.
I think it further propels the narrative that Carlo Ancelotti doesn't care about winning the league. I love that narrative so much. but yeah, Bayern face a potentially tricky game against PSV, who are all but out at this point, really battling for the Europa League places is what they have left. Along with Rostov, it's pretty clear that Atletico and Bayern in some order are going to go through. For this game, Atletico, not honestly not sure if they're going to rotate. I was much more sure that they were going to rotate last week. Do you think Atletico will rotate for this one?
I'm not sure, to be honest, Jeremy, because if you look at the subs from the weekend, obviously Griezmann and Gamero went off pretty early. Like, I think it was at 60 and 66 minutes.
Yeah, Gamero was partially necessary because they had to get another defender on after Savage got sent off.
But I think that means that Simeone had one eye on the Champions League. I think he just wants to, now that Atletico are actually 3 points ahead of Bayern, and obviously they have the PSV game coming up, I think he wants to seal a qualification. Don't mess about. Obviously last season was a bit dodgy in the group stage. Just get the win. You're at home. Hopefully they'll actually win more than 1-0 this time if they do win.
Yeah, 3-1-0 victories.
Yeah, it's difficult to get Atletico in the Champions League, but
it's hard to do.
It's still 3 points. but I don't know. I think Koke will obviously come in. I think Torres, I think it's confirmed he's going to start.
Yep, Simeone confirmed it in the press conference today. Gamero has a bruised left knee, so Simeone going to play it safe and start Torres in his place. He confirmed that today.
Yeah, it's probably best for him. I think we might see the same team that started in Russia. I think Correa might. Obviously, Gaetan is injured, so Correa is probably going to come in. And then Gabby, Koke in the middle. Back five, obviously, remains unchanged. And Carrasco, Griezmann, Torres, the attack.
Yeah, I think Saul might start in place of Correa. Now that it appears Saul is fully fit and back to Simeone's standards of fitness, I believe that Saul likely should be favored to start the game. And I've started to think that Simeone is going to roll out one of his strongest teams for this one. And you can always rotate in the fifth match day against PSV. That game is likely not going to mean anything for either team. Because that third place battle will likely come down to the final day when PSV play Rostov. So I think that I'm starting to think now that Simeone will actually roll out a pretty strong squad for this one. Just to make sure that nothing goes wrong, just to make sure that they secure qualification, and then you can rotate, because you're going to stay in Spain for the fifth match day, and then you can rotate against PSV, if you want to.
Yeah, not only that, but it's on a Tuesday as well. You know, if it was on a Wednesday and it was an away game, then you'd probably expect changes, even though that didn't happen last time, especially with Sevilla away.
Yeah.
I think maybe a couple of people are back on that saying that should have happened, but, you know, you're at home, it's on a Tuesday. You don't play again until Saturday. I think he's going to roll out with the strongest starting 11 of possibly the closest thing to it at this point, and just try to seal a qualification, because you might as well.
And you do have the international break coming up.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, just two games left. Roll out your strongest team and get those points.
Yep, just make sure, because I think only a win on the fourth match day will secure progression. And it would be a bit of a sigh of relief, because the last couple of years it did come down to the wire. Atletico needed a point at Juventus 2 years ago to win the group. And then last year needed to win in Lisbon to win Group C. So to have progression secured before then would be a bit of a relief, I think.
Yeah, and the last game is in Munich as well, and you don't have to go to Germany, play your strongest team, and come back for the league then on the weekend. You know, like you said, they needed a draw against Juventus there in Lisbon last year. Yeah, you know, Simeone's going to remember the stress that it caused him at that time, and he's just going to want to get everything sorted while he can. And no disrespect to Rostov, but I think you go like your strongest team at home, you know what's at stake. I think you get the 3 points comfortably enough.
Yeah, and Rostov made things a bit harder in Russia, organized, attacked a bit more at the end. Simeone's been very complimentary of Rostov in his press conferences. Just, I'm sure he wants to be absolutely certain that this gets done. And having to go to Munich without the pressure of the group being on the line, I think that would be huge, and that's got to be the goal. Go to Munich without first place on the line, so you can go into the last 16 seated and theoretically in a more advantageous position in terms of your last 16 tie.
Yeah, because you don't know, you know, it's easy saying, oh, just go through first or second, but, you know, you don't know who you're going to face in the second round, and that could actually dictate your whole Champions League adventure. So if you're in control, I think it's a bit silly to throw it away for the sake of resting a couple of players that probably at this stage of the season might not need that rest. You know, just go for it. Munich in the last game, if they do beat PSV, I think first place is going to go down to the last day, and then we'll see how the league is looking and how the players are looking at that stage. But for now, just go beat Rostov with the strongest team, and then you wait to Sociedad. You get three fresh days. You don't have to travel. You know, you have to take advantage of these good moments.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Care to offer a scoreline prediction?
You know, it's tough to say because usually I think it looks like a 2-0 kind of game, but this Atletico team does have goals in it. So I think I'll go for 3-0 Atletico.
I'm going to go 3-0 as well, actually. You know what, just to be different, I'm gonna go 3-1, just to be different. I'm going 3-1. I do not think this will be another 1-0. If it is, it'd be really, really funny, because it'd be 4-1-0 wins in the group stage. That would be really funny. But no, I think this is going to be a more offensive Atletico, more comfortable, because they are at home. So I'm going with 3-1, just to be different than you. All right, so that is... Those are our scoreline predictions. In terms of news items, we mentioned Gamero's little discomfort in his knee. He has a bruise on his left knee. Robbie wrote about Gamero's comments in the mixed zone on Saturday, saying he was not at 100%. This would seem to back up Gamero's assertion that he is not quite the Kevin Gamero he wants to be at this point. But yeah, it won't keep him out for any significant amount of time. And he is in the squad, actually, for this game, if Atletico do end up needing him. He is in the squad, just will not be starting.
Yeah, I seen the article actually that Robbie wrote, and yeah, to be honest, I've actually been impressed with Gamero. I know he's not been what we expected, I think, at this point, but the injury, like you said, backs up those claims that there was something wrong with him. But even then, I've been impressed with him. I wouldn't have any regrets about signing him. I think for the first two or three games, it looked like he might be a bit of Jackson Martinez. I know that makes a lot of Atletico fans out there shudder. there we go.
Jackson.
And shows that Simeone obviously values him if he's putting him in the squad for a game that obviously he wants to just win and seal qualification, and he just wants him there in case he needs him. So it shows that he trusts him and he knows what he's capable of. And yeah, I think it shows that Gamero is confident enough to come out and say that he can be better than he is, because... I don't know about you, Jeremy, but I've been happy with his performances.
I have too. A few games where he's been kind of not too great, and he's come off the bench in the Champions League. But as I mentioned a little earlier, fans I think got a bit enamored with the Aubameyangs and Higuaín's of the world being linked with Atletico over the summer. Not to mention a return of Diego Costa. But Gamero has filled a role, and he's filled it fine. He has qualities that fit the team. He's pacey. He's more dynamic. He's really, really quick, and he's a very good finisher. His conversion rates at Sevilla were excellent, and his conversion rate so far this season got off to a bit of a rough start. He missed the chances against Alaves in particular, but he's been good. He's filled a role, and that is to help Griezmann shoulder the load of goal-scoring responsibilities in this team, and he's done that. 5 league goals, and I think he's up to 3 assists as well. So that's...
You can tell that Griezmann enjoys playing with him as well, so that's obviously a plus.
Yeah, they have the connection from the national team. Griezmann's calling them the French Connection now. And they have that chemistry that they built through the national team, and they do seem to enjoy playing with each other. So that can really only be a good sign, assuming that they're both healthy, which please be healthy. And other than that, Atletico's women's team is atop the table in their league, haven't lost yet.
Fair play to them.
Yeah, fair play to them.
You know, obviously, winning is a habit, and just get that mentality all around the club is never a bad thing.
Absolutely, having it echo throughout the club. The women's team won a Copa del Rey last year, and looks like they're off to a flying start this season. So fair play to them. We'll be keeping an eye on them. In the meantime, that will just about do it for us on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Follow us on Twitter at Into the Calderon, at Jeremy, at JP Barron, at underscore MC1905 underscore. Also like us on Facebook, and we will be back later in the week to review the Rostov game and preview this weekend's potentially tricky tilt at Anoeta. We'll talk all about it then. Thanks so much for listening. Adios.